Welcome to another episode of Nerdy, Bored, and Almost 30. I think usually we try to keep the tone pretty cheerful, pretty funny. We're cynical. We say, like, disgusting shit. But I think it might be a little bit angrier tonight.
Well, some things you can joke about, but the reason they're funny is because it's so sad and you have no other option than to laugh.
Yeah. And like, one of the things, I mean, when I make rape jokes and stuff like that, it's just like, this is absurd. And that's where the humor lies.
Mm-hmm.
What scares the shit out of me is that, like, that becomes normalized and acceptable behavior. Not the joking of it, but the doing of it.
Oh, yeah. There's a huge difference between talking about something versus actually doing it. That's why, like, the whole like, Trump pussy-grabbing thing was an issue, because he was talking about stuff that he had done.
Yeah. Hey, I did this. And the fucking religious right, who likes to legislate, like, fucking body issues, like, you can't get an abortion, you shouldn't have sex, is totally fine with this guy running around grabbing people. I don't even want to talk about that tonight. Because, like, I'm super liberal. Sarah's super liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And our audience is probably, like, agrees 100% with us about, like, how much of a douche Trump is, and how, like, I'm not surprised the right elected Trump or, like, put him on the front of their ballot, because the right are a bunch of idiots riding, like, an undercurrent of white nationalism that has finally crested. I'm more upset, because they should know better, at the Democratic Party.
Yeah, it could have been avoided if Democrats had, you know, listened to their constituents. So it's kind of expected from the Republican Party to, you know, just follow what's winning and what's working. A lot of people in the GOP had, like, denounced Trump, but then took that back. And it didn't really matter anyway.
Yeah, their constituents don't give a fuck, like, about what they're, like, their constituents, like, here's the fallacy of the fucking right-wing party. Their constituents didn't vote them in because of their qualifications, because of their intelligence, because of their experience. Their constituents are like, white people that are scared of immigrants, that are scared of people of other religions, and they voted with the right wing because the right wing was most likely to oppress or at least legislate behaviors of those people.
Yeah, there are a lot of white people in America, and they, like, a lot of the white people in America are still poor, and Trump was, like, noticing them. Trump was saying, like, hey, I know that your life is tough, and that was something that, like, the Democrats do not do, and most of the Republicans don't do either. But a vote of passion, like, that's nice that what Trump was saying made these people feel better. Tax cuts are not going to help them. And, like, he has a track record of creating jobs in poor countries, not in America. So I think, like, the argument can be made that a lot of these people, especially, like, the white working class, which basically gave him the presidency, they're not voting in their best interests, because I'm willing to bet most of them do not make more than $100,000 a year. And Trump's tax cuts and deductions are going to help people making way more than that. Like, I don't deduct anything from my taxes, really. I don't make that much.
Yeah, I mean, there is a point to be said that, like, he's going to try to, like, there's a few ways that he can actually create jobs for people, and it's by pretty much deregulating environmental protection,
mm-hmm,
to create more mining operations and more, like, pretty much opening up energy resources. That's only going to work for so long.
It's short term.
Yeah, no. Like, it's fucking the environment. But as far as those people, like, yeah, okay, they're going to have work in those sectors. That's exactly. It's not a long-term solution, but he doesn't need a long-term solution. He needs 4 years.
You don't need a solution at all to get elected. Like, what was his platform?
So that brings me to a point. I had arguments with a friend over, like, on Facebook, whose opinion I respect a lot, who's really intelligent. And one of the things we were talking about was just, like, I was a Bernie supporter during the primaries, and they...
Ditto.
Exactly. And they were a Hillary supporter. And one of their biggest arguments that I kind of felt like, you know what, I can't really defend this because they're right, was that, like, Bernie's policies, like, he didn't have a policy plan. Like, there wasn't that much structure to it. It's like, oh, great, you're saying you're going to do all these things, but how are you going to do them?
Mm-hmm.
And my whole feeling was like, dude, like, people don't vote based on fucking policy, though.
That's boring.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to that.
People vote on their, like, on their passions. And, yeah, it might be silly. It might be a symbolic thing. Yeah, Hillary probably, like, in office, if we could just, like, if we could just put Hillary in office versus Bernie in office, I 100% agree Hillary would do better. She's been in the system longer. She knows how to navigate it. Like, I do think she'd be better at getting things done. But the people that Bernie would bring into the political process,
mm-hmm.
and who ideally would stick around, right? Because, like, Obama brought a bunch of people into the voting booths. But after he was, like, he also ran on that campaign of, like, change, we're going to do this together. And then afterwards, we all got lazy and nobody did anything.
Well, I mean, the Obama administration kind of tried, but for 8 years, the Republicans did a very good job of blocking basically everything.
Yeah, but like, for 8 years, like, we had, what, how many elections between there where we could have created a progressive Congress? And we didn't.
Nope.
Because we didn't care.
Nope. It's boring. Politics are boring.
Well, that's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, Obama tried to do that, but, like, the way he was elected, yeah, he had a lot of, like, grassroots support, but he also had a lot of, like, he made a lot of promises. The reason that he had the grassroots support is because we wanted to prosecute the previous administration.
Yeah.
We wanted to clean our hands of, like, Gitmo, of illegal wars. And for me, he lost that support the moment Gitmo didn't close in the first 100 days.
Yep.
After that, I was like, no, fuck this guy. And, like, you know, now he's much more of a, like, he's a moderate, like, incremental change and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. But, like, that's not what was promised and that's not what I voted for.
Right.
So in the landscape of Washington, Hillary can get things done. Bernie has always been an outsider voice, you know, but, like, his outsider voice has been more like the Lorax, nobody with power. Like, it's been one of warning. So in today's political climate, I do think Hillary would have been a better president.
Oh, hands down.
But you have to win.
You have to get there, and this was an election that was based more in people wanting a revolution, people wanting an actual change. That's what people were voting for. It wasn't necessarily the policies, because I do think that Trump had a big pull with white women, evangelicals, especially on his stances on abortion and the Supreme Court justices. But this was an election where people didn't want to, like, listen to, oh, well, what are they going to do? What are the policies? It was like, no, we're fed up. In particular, the white working class, and there's a lot of us, and Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party in general does not speak to the white working class, and Bernie Sanders did.
Yeah. And one of the biggest criticisms of him is, like, oh, he doesn't have the same kind of, like, constituency as Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't have the African-American vote.
Oh, yeah, black people
Latino.
Don't like Bernie.
But it's like, they did nothing for Trump. And between, like, Trump and Bernie, like, I'm pretty sure they'd break Bernie.
God, yeah.
Like, he released his fucking, what was it called? Like, his net worth is, like, $300,000.
Yeah, his tax return was, like, completely, like, just not even interesting. It was just like a regular person who's like, yeah, wealthier.
Yeah, I mean, he's been fucking, like, in the fucking Senate. Like, you can't not be there. Like, when you get there, you start making money.
But he was not making millions of dollars, like, pretty much everyone else.
Yeah, and he refused to take super PAC money. Like, I can't tell you how many times I talked to fucking Hillary supporters in the primary where they were like, that's just the way the system is. And it's like, that's the fucking point. He's the one not taking the money. That's why we're going to fucking vote for him. That's why people who normally wouldn't vote, who are cynical about the system, are going to get out and go to the polls to vote for him. Because they're like, holy shit, that's a system. This isn't. Yeah. Let's prop that up.
Let's use the system at, like, a bare minimum by voting for this person who will, you know, go in and most likely change it. Because, I mean, Bernie Sanders has been consistent. He's been incredibly consistent. He's been on, like, Tom Hartman all over, and his message hasn't changed.
That's another thing. Like, I argued so much about, like, his consistency, maybe, like, he's not gonna get corrupted by the fucking system because look at him. Like, we can actually believe in this person because he's not changing his mind based on the circumstances or whatever, like, political. And the person was like, oh, well, you know, the ability to be flexible is actually something I admire. Which is, like, great. You can change your mind based on facts. But, like, I don't think that facts are what motivated Hillary flip-flopping. I think it was, like, what will get me into the best political, what would give the voters the best political opinion of me?
Yeah, right? And there's a line between, you know, changing your mind or changing your policies because that is what it seems like your constituents want. So while it may not be something that you believe in, if the voters are saying, like, oh, this is how we feel on this policy, it makes complete sense to me to, like, concede that point and be like, okay, well, that's not something that I believe in, but apparently, like, 60% of the population of people that, like, I'm in charge of, that's what they want, so I guess I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, oh, well, wow, all of the supporters of this person that I'm running against, they seem to really want free college. I guess I'll say that too. Like, yeah. There's a difference between that. There's, like, it's a great thing to, you know, concede because your constituents have been saying, like, no, this is what we want, versus trying to win, and so you're pandering.
Yeah, like, I'm going to hijack their opinions and their policies because I want those voters to vote for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, cunt, we're not dumb. Like,
we have the internet, we can go back and see what, yeah, like, you, like, said.
We know what you used to say. And, like, the thing about Bernie is, like, The one thing that I can kind of fault him on is gun policy. But besides that, he's been like, and, like, even then, I'm whatever with gun policy. I feel like I need a gun now because I don't want to get, like, kidnapped in the middle of the night and taken on a train to, like, some place.
Right? Like, our house, we got two brown people and a Jew.
Yeah.
We're all kind of scared.
Yeah. This is, like, I was on Twitter the other day looking at all the racist shit happening and I was fucking crying. Like, it... besides the gun policy and all that shit, like, Bernie has been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, it's like, okay, the more power you've gotten, the more exposure you've had to lobbyists, to, like, money that can, like, it wouldn't be hard for him to get money to vote in those interests. As you've upgraded through politics, you haven't let your opinions change. And those opinions are in line with my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You're ahead of the curve in progressive issues. That should be something we celebrate, not something we say, like, oh, well, he's an old guy set in his ways. Hillary, she can see the facts and she can change her mind. Like, what? Yeah, and make, like, millions of dollars in the process?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. There's the evidence that a lot of people were using for, like, Hillary's flip-flopping was her stance on gay marriage. And that seems to me to be that's a kind of core value, and just changing your ideas on it. Like, oh no, that's a civil rights issue. So if you think that gay people are people, they should have the same abilities to, like, get married. 'Cause institution of marriage is not really something that's sacred. it's a legal institution now.
Yeah.
And she completely changed her mind on that. And, like, that seems like such a large issue and such a core value to people that that change, to me, seems way more influenced by voters than by her actual thoughts. Regardless of, like, if she was trying to, you know, get in with the Christian right by saying in the first place that she doesn't believe that two men or two women ought to be able to get married.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Bernie Sanders has just, he's been consistent throughout everything.
And there's something to be said about, okay, like, you know, she's a woman fighting for a place in a man's world, right? Like, I can see why she would need to make concession. Like, the whole statement about, like, having a, you know, she got in trouble, like, with the emails or whatever, like, oh, you need a public face and you need a personal face. Like, she, I believe that, personally, she probably agrees with most of the things, I think. Yeah. But she's been fighting, like, tooth and nail against, like, constant attacks from the right wing. And I don't think it's completely motivated by, but I think it's at least partially, if not mostly motivated by her, the fact that she's a woman. But, like, that's not an excuse.
Mm-mm.
Like, yes, I see why, you know, like, maybe she can't be, maybe she can't take the kinds of, like, firm stances because it'd be more destructive to her career than it would if a male senator or secretary of state took those stances. But there's still stances that she took. And just because mm-hmm. she's a woman doesn't excuse her from, like, bearing that responsibility.
Right. I completely agree. And, like, I'm starting to get kind of pissed off that I don't want to say that she didn't get elected because she's a woman. But I think that that's true. I think that the misogyny played a big role. And, like, before, I'd always kind of change my attitude a little bit and say, like, oh, well, I don't want to say it was, like, mainly due to misogyny. But honestly, if she had been Henry instead of Hillary, she would have won.
Yeah.
Like, her entire life, because she's a woman, she's been losing. Like, the people of Arkansas didn't think that it was okay that she wanted to keep her own last name. That's bullshit. Like, I want to keep my own last name, mainly because I don't want to, like, write in and, like, tell credit card companies or whatever, like, oh, no, I got married. But it's like, that's a hassle that mm-hmm. men don't have to go through. And apparently women in the 90s were expected to. And it was, like, a tarnish on their good name to not take the name of their husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, it is. No, like, she's dealt with a lot of bullshit because of her sex.
Yeah, it's not playing the woman card. It's like, it's with all of those, it's not playing the black card, it's not playing the Latino card. It's acknowledging history and how people view minority groups and women who aren't in a minority, but for thousands of years were property. And because of that historical context, no, the genders are not equal. And trying to say, like, oh, well, it would be different if, like, yeah, it's like, true. It would be different.
One thing that I think, like, I don't know, maybe the uneducated fail to understand is that, like, societal norms and conditions aren't just constructed by the laws on paper, but by the attitudes and culture that we exist in. Meaning, like, yeah, on paper, all men have a right to vote, but because of the culture in the South during the Reconstruction era, many black people did not have the right to vote. Like,
yeah.
Or even now, like, fuck that. Like, they had, like, Jim Crow laws. But now it's, like, because of the methods of suppression we have that are both, like, legal locally, but just cultural,
mm-hmm.
we can influence. Like, it's not fair. Like, you can say it's fair de jure, but de facto it isn't.
Exactly. Like, changing legal policy is fantastic. That is great. But to take, like, higher learning as an example, so colleges in America, those were created for white men. And eventually, yeah, we were able to, like, get some wins in there and say, like, no, this needs to be open to everyone. You need to allow, like, women and people of color in. And even though that was a law, there's still going to be, like, this frat boy culture going on that makes it terrible for women and minorities who want to just get an education.
Well, I mean, even without the frat boy culture and, like, that cultural aspect, if you look at the numbers, overwhelmingly, the people who benefit from that system are still, like, white males.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's good for everyone on a whole when women and minorities get more educated. And there is a town in India that 2 years back, they had, like, this just surge of women getting jobs and making money, and it was better for the entire community.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in Brazil. More women started getting more education and getting, like, higher placements in work, and it was better for everyone.
Yeah.
It's just kind of bullshit that we have to keep pushing and pushing, and all we have are people opposing, saying, like, oh, well, if you really thought that the genders were equal, then it wouldn't be like this. I'm like, no, I do think that the genders are equal in ability and in disability, but it doesn't show that, like, everyone has the same opportunities.
Like, we didn't start the race at the same starting point. Like, straight white males get a head start. And when they start losing with that head start, they start getting angry.
Which is, like, it's totally fair. If you're, especially since it's on, like, such a large scale of, like, looking at white men instead of individual white men. Like, yeah, sure, a whole bunch of them, like, lost their jobs and are unfortunate in their own, like, personal individual ways. As a whole, when different parts of society start succeeding, the entirety of society starts succeeding if there's enough of them and they influence those other realms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such bullshit that we have to, like, even say that. Even having to say that, like, oh, no, the individuals, no, it's okay. It's all right if you're still failing. And, like, even though you have all of this privilege that does exist because history, it was really makes me upset about a lot of people saying, oh, racism and sexism are over. Slavery has been finished with for over 100 years. People need to, like, pull up their bootstraps or whatever and, like, make money. Get the fuck over it. Like, what do these people think happened after the Civil War and emancipation? Like, do they think that Abraham Lincoln just came in and gave all of the freed enslaved people jobs and money and land? Because that did not happen. That's not at all what happened.
Well, there was a recent study, right, based on, like, they were looking at impoverished communities of color, and then, like, people who, you know, like these are people of the same income. They looked at, I think the divide was people of color. I'm probably butchering it, but they found that, like, okay, so in certain communities, if you needed to borrow $4,000, mm-hmm. right? I think that was the number.
I remember this. It was like $3,000.
$3,000.
Yeah, I remember this.
And it's like, oh, how easily could you do it? And it's like these two groups of people making the same amount of money. I think it was African American communities versus white suburban communities. They have the same income, right? But for one community, it was nearly impossible to borrow that amount of money should an emergency happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd be, like, more consequences because once you can't borrow enough to pay off a fine or a ticket, or, like, whatever,
it just keeps adding up.
Yeah, it keeps spiraling down. And it's, like, that right there is an example. And it, like, the frustrating thing is that it takes a lot of patience to educate people with privilege about what their privilege means. And they're usually really reluctant to do so because in our culture, the individual is celebrated.
Oh yeah.
The individual is the hero of their own story. And if in any way you imply that another individual in our culture, you know, has it easier than somebody else, that somehow invalidates their experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they get really defensive. And so it's like, no, but like these people are getting shot. It's like, well, maybe they shouldn't do that. Like, they, like there has to be a reason for it, because like I'm not getting shot, and you know, obviously it's because they're doing something wrong. It's not that like I have the privilege of not being shot.
Yeah.
Like I have a struggle in my life. I don't feel good about myself. I have a hard time because I'm a poor working class white person, and now you're telling me that this other person deserves something because of the struggles they've had. You're ignoring my struggles. Like that's the tension.
Yeah, this like culture of individuality, it sure it has its pluses, I bet. But that's not how time works. Mm-hmm. Like time and society works generationally, and making change can take upwards of 50 years, which individuals are not able to see. And for whatever reason, even though all of the information is out there, a lot of people just don't have time or don't want to put in the effort to look at history and how the past necessarily turns into the present and the future. Like, that's just time. Like, if your great-grandparents were enslaved systematically, that's going to have an effect on your grandparents. That's going to have effect on your parents. That's going to have an effect on you. Just, that's time. That's how it works.
Yeah, like the repercussions of injustice reverberate throughout generations.
Yeah.
Like, and there's really nothing to discuss there, but we will on part two of this podcast. So we'll be right back. Thank you for joining us.